Welcome to The Simpsons, number 2F04, Bart's Girlfriend, written by Jonathan Collier, directed by Susie Dieter. I'm David Merkin, executive producer and showrunner.
I'm Jonathan Collier, writer.
David Silverman.
Susie Dieter, director.
I'm Julie Kavanagh. I play the voice of Marge.
And this is spokesmodel Matt Groening.
I'm sorry, I was supposed to make a strangulation sound for some reason.
And that's all we'll be saying for this one. On to the next commentary. This is a nice opening sequence here. And we of course, spent 2 hours on that particular sign. This particular idea was an idea I actually came into the show with. Was an idea of Bart having a girlfriend that was more evil than he was. And John wrote the script and did a really nice job. I don't know if you remember anything early on, John.
I remember being handed the idea and being terrified. I've been on the show about 2 weeks, and I was sent off alone with Jim Brooks to break the story. David had come up with it and pitched it at a retreat a few months before.
You went off with Jim Brooks to do this?
I sat alone with Jim Brooks. And
wow, I had
scary,
no idea.
Scary man.
That. Yeah, it's a very, very scary man. When he looms over you with that big beard, it's really scary, kids.
He's got a very big head. It's much bigger than mine. And
we were still doing story retreats. What year was this?
Oh, this is 92 or 93.
93?
Yeah, 93.
You wrote
probably,
it 93. 93.
The air date
was probably,
94.
Well, yeah, 93, 94.
So we used to do story retreats.
We did. I'm not absolutely sure I brought it up in a story retreat. I it was sort of something that I let everybody else talk in story retreats, and I would, like, keep my ideas like Deep Space Homer and this quiet and then, like work on them later because we were working on other people's stories in those generally. This, obviously, a loving tribute to Planet of the Apes that Susie did a fantastic job on. And also, Alf did a great job on capturing the music, which the music of Planet of the Apes is amazing. It's an amazing film from top to bottom. Not the new one. Not going to say there's anything wrong with the new one, but remember, you're all going to die. Don't waste your time. See the old one. No, it's really amazing.
Is
written by Rod Serling.
What? You're all going to die.
What is that?
Okay.
That's what the commentaries are really.
I don't want you playing something that has such bizarre hate.
And look, you see?
Awful.
This gag never gets old for me.
I love that.
Works every time.
I love your character, Julie, because she just has the idea of playing with something bizarre is going to possibly hurt the children. You know, it's just very conservative and very, and you just, and that's the way you are in real life, right, Julie?
Oh, yes, that's right. I'm very religious and righteous and yes.
We get lectured by Julie all the time on the show.
Yeah.
You know, Jessica Lovejoy is based on Mike Wolff's daughter.
I never knew that.
So Mike Wolff's daughter is evil?
I know what I'm doing.
Well, I remember there. It was hard getting her design down. And one day Mike Wolff came in my office and sort of handed me this little drawing on a Post-it. And I've seen his kids. He has very cute kids. And I was like, this looks like his kid, you know? So I sent, you know, had someone clean it up and sent it over, and it got approved right away.
It's really hard to figure out how to draw attractive people in this style. I can't do it.
It really is interesting because I was watching this, and this, of course, she's being played by Meryl Streep. And that was a major coup because, you know, Meryl Streep is a goddess. I mean, she's technically not human. They've done tests. She's not a human person. She's a fantastic actress and also a wonderful person. She's a lovely, lovely person who I've gotten to know over the years. And the combination of the design of this character, Susie, the way you made her move and Meryl's voice, Meryl did a great job. I'll talk about what it was like directing her, but really made someone who was very attractive. I mean, I had a crush on this girl. I mean, I always had a crush on evil girls. That's sort of where this came from. And I've never quite found a girl evil enough for me, as a matter of fact. That's been the problem in my life. But that girl, it really worked. I mean, I was really emotionally hit. And it is amazing that in Matt's drawing style that someone can actually be pretty.
Susie, this was your first show too, wasn't it?
It was my second.
Oh, your second?
Burkitt's Famous was my first show.
Two great shows. I mean,
by the way, if you're trying to get an evil girl,
yes.
just take a nice one, just keep annoying them, and then
take annoy
a nice girl,
a nice girl,
keep annoying them,
and
then turn out evil.
Matt speaks from experience.
So that's what happened to Susie, right?
Oh. No, Susie showed up, Evil. What's the matter with you,
Davis? Hey, so I always ask the animators this. Do you recall these many years ago, these specific drawings or directing?
You do.
Yes. I know that Mike Mercantile laid out this sequence. I can usually remember who drew it. I can usually remember if it was, you know, an easy sequence that, you know, the layout artist did a great job and I didn't have to do many fixes, or if it was something that required a lot of labor.
Must fight Satan. Make it up to him.
I'm amazed at how much I do remember. A little frightened by it, too.
Do you enjoy it, or do you just see it technically?
Both. I always enjoy them more once time has passed.
Right.
But I also see a lot of technical things that, you know, boy, if I only had the chance, I'd love to change, make it better. But, you know, it's with each show, you learn something.
But you gave her a great character. I mean, her body language is so great because she's so, you know, seemingly
sneaky,
with her little legs together as she's sitting on the chair. And when she was just talking to the teacher, you know, she had that quality in the drawing that then later you find out that she's no good, but appearing to be very sweet, very feminine.
Oh, thank you.
And this was really a lot of fun. I really enjoyed the structure of this thing, and John did a nice job in writing it, which is the that the girl seems sweet and Bart mistakenly thinks she's sweet and therefore is trying to change himself, but she's actually, you know, much worse than he is. And I love the fact, because it's an observation of mine, that sometimes in a family that's trying to be good, overly good all the time, has such repression and not being honest about things that the children react to it and become kind of very sneaky, and they hide things. And that's sort of what we're feeling is happening in the Lovejoy household, where there's so much righteousness going on that the child needs to rebel against it some way. And it the rebellion is actually more intense than even Bart's rebellion in his house, which is more open and more obviously on the surface screwed up, but maybe even a healthier environment than she's growing up in. So all that's in there, whether you guys realize it or not. I think that the strut joke, by the way, was Jace Richdale. When you're feeling happy, all you can do is
that's strut. Pretty much Jace's strut.
That's the way Jace walks, yes.
I can't believe my little boy is already going on his first day. Sunrise.
I was watching the show earlier today, and I started cracking up when I saw this.
We have no
faith. One of the great things about The Simpsons is you never stopped and like thought about how much that would cost you.
Yes, no, that's
true. That was a very expensive little joke.
We could actually sing three songs in a row and pay for them. It can be expensive. You know, whenever you hear a piece of music on a TV show, that means that somebody's getting, you know, we have to pay tens of thousands of dollars for that music, for just a few seconds of it. It's a great business. And sometimes songs we have to change because they're so expensive we can't get enough money to justify spending, you know, that much money on one little piece of song. But most of the time we fight and we scream and we yell until we get the money and get you the music that you deserve to be entertained by. That's how much we care about.
That's
it.
How we got Yes, We Have No Bananas. Very expensive piece.
The only one I remember not being able to afford was Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go by George Michael.
We couldn't afford that.
That was up almost
$100,000. He priced us right out of the market. And what we did is we then created a conspiracy that destroyed his career. That was us.
Don't you ever come near my daughter again. Never have I heard such gratuitous use of the word but.
But.
Make him stop!
Make him
stop! That's a great
show. You're bad, Bart Simpson.
Now, this is a terrific performance by, obviously, Julie is always a rock and the perfect mom in this. But this is a great performance by Nancy Cartwright and Meryl Streep. And I recorded the two of them together. It didn't work out schedule-wise that I could have the whole cast, so I just had Nancy and Meryl one day in the studio.
Poor Sarah playing tall. Yeah.
But you made her eyes so nice and sneaky and evil.
And pretty at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very attracted, you know, to eyes like that. So. This is obviously Pulp Fiction music at that moment.
This is one of my favorite things.
Dick Dale, is that who that is that we're sort of doing? Is that who does
it? Sounds like, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
All assertions of fact may not be true.
But Meryl was fascinating to direct because she's so game, loves to play, you know, is completely inexhaustible in experimenting. And we tried a lot of different things. And anytime you would ask her for something, she would love to try it different ways and experiment. But it was always something that was incredibly usable and interesting. And it was a very easy task to just kind of pick the thing and go through those takes and find something that all held together, because it was all good. It was just a matter of picking the best. This particular joke, I really enjoy when a character gets hurt, I've said this before, but then doesn't recover quickly.
Right.
So Bart is trying to recover as a TV or cartoon character should, but he can't. It's like, see, he's slowing down. So we actually play a punch in the stomach the way a punch in the stomach really is. It's gonna knock you down for a few minutes.
This is a sequence I like to point out to people. It's like, here's things you can't really do in a three-camera sitcom that we can really do on The Simpsons.
I've never noticed that heel in the show before.
Oh, it's there. And it's right next to the school, I swear.
That's right.
That's so true what you're saying, David, about the reality of it.
Right.
To keep the reality going is what made it so brilliant to begin with, was that it had that base there. It wasn't just a cartoon and a joke and you could do anything and there's no pain involved at all.
That's right. We have, and Matt and I have talked about this many times, this flexible reality, or as I think Matt likes to say, rubber band reality.
Yeah, rubber band. It's real, but then we can extend it out for cartoon jokes, and then it snaps back.
Yeah.
And I think part of what we do is realistic sound effects.
Yes.
So instead of boings and, you know, boops and bops and stuff, it's all very... In fact, we...
Boing! Oh, see, there was one.
We also have learned in doing the sound mix that more pain, more funny.
Yep. Sadly.
Yes.
Sadly, that's something we've come away with as true.
I got that tattoo. On my knuckles.
I love this conversation.
Have you noticed any change in Bart?
New glasses?
Oh, two of my favorite lines.
New glasses.
Probably misses his old glasses.
I guess we could get more involved in Bart's activities, but then I'd be afraid of smothering him.
Yeah, and then we'd get the chair.
That's not what I meant.
It was, Marge. Admit it.
Hi. We should get to class.
What's the hurry?
We could get in trouble for being late.
Oh, you worry too much. Now, come on, if you stay here a while...
See, that was a great piece of reality, though. That scene, little scene, just a short little scene between the mother and the father talking about their son. Is something going on? Do you notice anything different?
And you saw...
Glasses.
It totally is. And you know, your character is our anchor, you know, in that so much, because Marge is always down to earth and she's having this very caring parental conversation.
Yes.
And of course Homer is totally out of it. He thinks he misses his glasses, which is the whole problem that he never wears.
But he is concerned about his son. He just, you know, he
does it in the wrong way.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
And again, you know what Matt was saying about the reality of the sound effects, also the music is completely real and serious. We don't do comedy music. All the music is playing the emotions that we're trying to sell you, which is scary or funny or what, not really funny, but sad or emotional. We don't play comedy music.
Yeah, the idea is playing the emotion, not the joke.
The emotion, not the joke. And where the final, what I'm really getting to with this, is that's because of our great actors like Julie. The show hired fantastic.
You're in the room today.
You're in the room.
Which is...
I have to say this. I have to. No, but
Julie, do not listen to the audio commentaries where you're not present.
Yeah, you don't want to hear
go
that.
Go the other way. I'm
you
telling
don't
you.
Hear that. We can replace them, please. Yeah.
With high school students.
With
right?
high school students. Yes. The network once said, you know, hey, you know, we can replace them with high school students.
Yeah,
and we said, that's
point.
Ridiculous. We said it had to be college kids. I remember it was a huge fight.
Just get through this many days without seeing her. She should be completely out of my system. Okay. Day one.
This is a great joke that we just...
Oh, yeah. That's one of the screw you audience jokes where you kind of think that it's one thing and it's the calendar.
If you'd made this show today, what would you change Janet Reno to?
Who would we change Janet Reno to? Condoleezza Rice.
I was going to say either her or Martha Stewart.
Yeah, it's easy. It only takes a second. We have a plug-in chart here. It's a wheel. A wheel that you just turn. And,
we bring it around with us in case people ask us these questions.
This is a very disturbing show.
I forgot about that one. I feel like that, too.
Hey, Bart. What? What's wrong?
Well, Jessica, I don't think we should hang out together.
And Meryl was so easily evil. I just point that out, by the way.
She was also about 7 months pregnant, I remember.
Oh, good. Here comes the collection.
You know someone's done this before.
That someone has done this before?
Put a coupon in the collection.
We've been blessed.
You're right about everything, Bart. I have been too reckless. From now on,
he's convinced about it.
I am going to settle down.
Jessica, what are you doing?
Sorry, folks. We got caught in with the drama. We have nothing
very
to say
intense.
Here.
This is Bart getting accused unjustly. It's very upsetting. So was your time with Jim Brooks, was it well spent? Was it...
I thought it was well spent, and I replayed the tape. Actually, not
oh,
that
you were
long
taping
ago.
It?
I taped the whole thing.
Now, do you
so
still
I
have
every
the
joke.
Tape?
You know what? I replayed the tape. And my memory of the event was that it was just fantastic. I was trading jokes with the great Jim Brooks. And it, when I replayed it, it was Jim pitching very good jokes and me kind of giggling obsequiously. And I realized at some point I was going to get older, and my kids were going to have to go through all my belongings and get rid of them.
Right.
And they might listen to that tape, and so it didn't survive.
You destroyed the tape to prove that it was all Jim. I love that joke.
We're having
about
two
it.
Different commentaries going on here, by the way.
Stop me out of the window.
What are you laughing
about?
That great joke, the animation joke. He goes out the window, and then you hear Homer say after like a pause, "Stop him! He's going out the window."
Yeah, that was added later.
It was added later. Yes, we needed something, and it turned out to be
a voice was added later.
Yeah.
Huh? Off screen.
Any off screen voices that you hear in the show? Added later.
He's just going, we need a joke here. The joke we originally had wasn't good. But it turned out to be a perfect joke that, in case you wanted to know just how slow Homer's mind worked, that's the amount of time.
Hey, that was a Silverman-esque caricature, right?
Yeah, that was a David Silverman.
I love that Doppler joke, by the way, where the guy is yelling something too long at Bart that you can't hear, and he fades away before it's over. That's me describing a joke again, which...
That's from Pretty Poison, I think, the movie.
Huh?
We took that from Pretty Poison, the little the baton twirling.
That was from Pretty Poison?
Yeah.
I love the movie Pretty Poison. That's a very rare Tuesday Weld Tony Perkins movie. And if you, I don't even know if it's on DVD or video, but I recommend it. And I hardly get any money for saying that.
You know, as an animator, it was great to have this prop of the baton. And
right.
Be able to incorporate it into her acting and give her something to, you know, pay attention to instead of Bart, and then using it, you know, directly to hit his nose. It,
right.
It just,
who came up with that? With
it was in the script.
That
was in the script, but her execution of it, again, the collaboration is, you know, we write a baton into the script because we like Pretty Poison. You know, Tuesday Weld often played a great evil girl. She played a great evil girl in Dobie Gillis and probably a pinnacle evil girl in Pretty Poison. And so taking that, but then you give it to Susie and you get back all that great choreography, which we could never write. And, you know, it's totally there and it totally works.
And part of the character. I mean, it was...
Totally in character and perfect that she's barely paying attention to him. That's part of what's attractive about women is when they don't pay any attention to you. It's constantly a challenge.
yeah.
And then obviously that's Bart in the Hannibal Lecter. I don't remember which came first. I don't remember if we put Bart in the thing and then Silence of the Lambs stole it from us.
They stole from us.
Clear what the timing is. There's no way to find out.
I believe the Planet
I'm proud
of the
of this next shot.
That's right.
That one.
They
wow,
saw that whole
nice.
Thing. In the...
That was great.
What
was
great?
Great. That camera swing around, and then there's the congregation, and it's on her back from with no cut. That was great.
It's a great shot. I by the way, I love the way particularly Marge looks in full frontal there, Matt, when they're sitting in the church. It's a really funny shot of Marge because her lips are very red because she's all dolled up for church.
Very 80s lipstick.
Hmm.
Oh, what the heck? It was Jessica Lester! If you search her room, I am certain you will find the money!
To the little girl's room! That's the collection money.
An insane piece of trivia that we have to have this
car
get up to the mattress.
Well, come on, use your imaginations!
I like the
no,
blank
Dad.
Looks.
I did it.
And again, just it's a terrific performance of Meryl being phony sincere here. It's like we never ever get to the bottom of Jessica in this entire show. That's another important thing about the show is we don't have people change because it is so rare for humans to change. Part of the point of The Simpsons is that people don't change. And obviously he has this great opportunity to fix his family and he's not going to do it. He starts to sing and cover his ears.
Mr. and Mrs. Van Houten were married.
They apologize to Bart, but they don't let him go. I also enjoy that little piece of.
I like the way you introduce Bart with the shadow. That's really nice.
She did such a great kid's voice, too.
She really did.
Yeah, you don't,
she really did.
If you didn't tell me it was Meryl Streep, I wouldn't know.
It's not something that jumps out of you, and that's how amazing. She's a chameleon. She's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And the only thing that's truly Meryl here is how evil the character is.
Would you finish scrubbing these steps for me?
Will I?
And of course, Bart learns nothing either.
Exactly.
We have an entire town of no one has learned anything, and that's often the Simpson way, and we're very proud of that. And I love Nancy's laugh goes on and on over the
credits. I was just going to say, it's a great laugh.
It is. It's a perfect 10-year-old boy laugh. Very
he's
sad.
He's an innocent in his evilness.
He is.
And she isn't. That's great.
He is. And Susie did such a great job because there's a lot of small acting in that episode, and that's very difficult to pull off. It's easier to do these giant things that we do. We have all the subtlety in those performances. Susie captured all of it.
Really a nice subtlety at the end, I love with the brush, where Jessica's sort of just toying with the scrub brush. That was really
nice. Yeah, it's a prop.
We always work for that. So please write more props.
We will write more props. Okay.
Of all the fun things that you can do in animation, it really is the subtle acting and getting it to cross over that boundary between cartoon and to where you're just experiencing what the character is expressing, you know, and you're sort of in their reality, and you're not just watching it from afar, where it seems real and natural and spontaneous.
I totally disagree with that, but we're out of time.